Entrepreneur Weekly interviews the brilliant leaders of today in order to provide a stepping stone of wisdom on the journey to personal business ownership. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And not only personal business ownership, but your personal life, too. This is part of Entrepreneur Magazine, Entrepreneur Media. I am Alan Taylor. I am on that same journey that you are, along with a lot of other really cool people, believe it or not. That's what this show is all about. And so today, we're going to talk with my limey friend, Simon Lovell, the Simon Lovell Show and the Fitpreneur. Simon, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Alan, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Listen, today I know you and I have had a little bit of chat time, and we are going to talk about an entrepreneur's personal journey and how some of us, and I'll say it like that, some of us are actually living a double life. And I'm going to let you take it from there, Simon, because you're the one that said that, and I agreed. And here we go. What do you mean, living a double life?
Well, you know, when I was 13 years old, something happened to me at school. And, sometimes as entrepreneurs, we look back and we go, do you know what? Why did I become an entrepreneur? Why did all of those things happen? And age of 13, I got heavily bullied. There's something that happened at school where I walked into the kids' changing rooms. I brushed past this kid at school who was like the key kind of rugby player. And in that moment, he said that I touched him inappropriately, that I was gay, and my life changed from the age of 13. I was at a key developmental age.
Wow.
And I basically just like secluded myself. And that's when I started to just like work and do my own fanzine and magazine and started to build that. But what I didn't realize is that later on, as I was growing as a young teenager and eventually into become a man, that would really shape my life. And that involved like addictions. And I became a personal trainer. But at the same time as that, you know, I was snorting cocaine and doing drugs and had all of this debt. And I was living these two lives. And it was, you know, we have these key turning points as individuals. We all do throughout our journey. And the key turning point for me was one Christmas. And I was meant to be at my sister's house for Christmas dinner. I'd been partying the night before. I'd been taking loads of drugs. And I had to be at my sister's house at 11 o'clock. And it was 8 o'clock in the morning. And I looked in the mirror. And my eyes were bulging. There was sweat dripping down my face. And I was like, my heart was pounding, thinking, my niece and nephew just want to be with Uncle Simon. Anyway, I arrived at her home, walked in, tried not to get eye contact, walked up into my nephew's bed. He had like Thomas the Tank Engine sheets on his bed. They were all downstairs having fun. I got in, put my head to the pillow and went to sleep. And I left that day completely ashamed of myself. And I knew, and I had this massive calling to do something different. I was like, I want to grow a company. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be successful. But my life didn't match where I was. I had to make a change. And so for me, I made a key decision, and that was to pack my bags, change my environment, change where I was living, and start to create a new life for myself. And then I hired mentors and invested in myself and made another key decision, which was to take 20% of what I made in my business as it started to grow and work on me, not the business, but on me, on my fears, on my, you know, going deep and dealing with, you know, the past, really, and starting to peel back the layers. And that's when my business really started to grow, when I started to work on me.
Damn. I didn't expect all that to come out. Did you guys? This is great, man. Well, in that case, I hear you. I'm picking up what you're laying down. The living a double life thing, most people don't want to admit. Simon here, being honest with himself and with us, Simon Lovell. You can find him at fitpreneurs.com. And this is just the beginning. We'll be right back. It's Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
We're talking with Simon Lovell, and that is love with two L's on the end, Lovell. SimonLovell.com. You can find him. He also has his company, Fitpreneurs. He's a fitness guru, you might say. He's on the line with us. Simon, first of all, thank you for being so completely transparent about your life, how your story started. And you know what's funny is we all have a story similar to that. We all have had to deal with bullying in one way or another, unless we were the bully. But even if we were the bully, we probably got bullied and hated that bully and became what we hated. You seem to feel it's very important to tell your story. Maybe you could talk about that.
Yeah, I think that it just, you know, it allows others to feel like I'm not the same one going through my challenges. And, you know, I think that's so important now when we're all craving connection. You know, what I've found, even, you know, with the evolution of me in the past year, you know, I would go to events and I would be invited to things, but honestly, I didn't want to be there because I had anxiety and I had all this stress and, you know, I craved this connection, but I was sabotaging it. And one of the big things I did last year was give up alcohol and start to get the fun back in my life and start to share my story and build my personal brand, because it allows you to just be you. And I think when you ask that question, and when you talk about like your personal story, I think that as long, you know, we're running our companies, but there's also a big part of us that just wants to be us and it wants to help people. And that little story that you have, that if you don't share it, like, it could stop someone from taking their own life. It could stop them from going into sabotage. And so the reason why I share my stories actually so much is that those stories allow people to relax a little. And when you're relaxed, you're creative and you can start to tap into something like a much deeper you. And when you have a much deeper you, the relationship that you have with your employees is going to be better. The relationship that you have with potential new clients is going to be better. You connect better. And also the relationship that you have with yourself is more congruent and in alignment, which actually is where everyone's trying to go.
It's very interesting. I will say that I've had this similar experience, and people have different ways of thinking about our stories because we all have them. For example, I was I was on the front page of a newspaper, my local newspaper in my small town, USA, about, I don't know, it's probably been 6, 7, 8, 9 years ago, whatever, it's been a long time. But my brother, who is a very private, secretive person, saw me on the front page of the newspaper, and the headline was this: his failures led him to his successes. And the person asked me about, because I was on television and the local people saw me on TV, and they said, wow, you were just on ABC, and what, you know, what was that? And so it was a whole story. And then the last question, they said, what do you think most contributed to your success? And I sat there and it was the only question that popped up. The only one. It was something inside said, your failures, because those failures prepare you and your character and the person that you are for eventually success, or you have to keep having failures until you learn what it is you're supposed to learn. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, one of my clients recently had a discussion. I was doing an interview with her for one of my podcasts. And, you know, she said, actually, I asked her, I said, what's something which you would really love? And she was like, I want to know about your failures more. Like, I want to know that, because it allows me to just know that the stuff that I'm going through now, even when I've got all these successes, there's still days where I'm failing or I'm not feeling good enough, or I'm in like this negative spiral and I'm just, you know, just going inward, you know. We all go through those days and have those meltdowns. That's the truth. But we're living a lot of the time based on what someone's highlight reel is. And I think that's dangerous in some ways.
Yeah. You know, and I remember my brother, coming back to that, my brother says to me, you're crazy. Why would you say that? You're crazy. And I remember thinking to myself, wow, because I believe it. That's why I said it. I'm living this life now because I've taken those failures, and I don't really call them failures. I mean, the world may say, oh, well, you failed at this or failed at that. It's like when you're learning how to ski, when you fall down, have you failed? No, you're in the learning process. You fall down, you get back up again. You fall off a horse, you get back on again. Those aren't failures. That's just momentarily setbacks as you're learning how to do, you know, whatever it is you're going to do. And so I remember thinking, poor guy, he has not even realized yet that if you don't learn from your failures and are not able to speak about them with others to help others not have to suffer that same fate that you did, then, you know, you're not really doing what God put you here to do, which is to communicate. And I love being transparent. I love how transparent you are right now, by the way. And we're going to take another break because lots to talk about here, brother. Lots to talk about. Here's how you can find out more about this Fitpreneur, entrepreneur, obviously fitpreneurs.com. He has a podcast he's doing now called The Simon Lovell Show, and it's Love with two L's. Real easy to spell. SimonLovell.com. You can find out more about him. I met him about a year ago. And man, what a transformation, brother, because I wasn't nearly attracted to you then the way I am now because I see something about you that is deep and I want to get to know you better. My new friend, the newest version of my new friend, Simon Lovell, will be back with more right here on Entrepreneur Weekly.
Can't get enough of Entrepreneur Weekly? Check out our podcast on iTunes for even more content. Subscribe today. You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I have to say, a bit of a special show today. A man who has the courage to be transparent to the world on national radio, on podcasts, to you entrepreneurs. A Fitpreneur, that's who he is. Simon Lovell, Fitpreneur.com, Fitpreneurs with an S.com. And we're talking about Simon's personal entrepreneur journey. He says he was living a double life. Many of us do. Do you have the confidence? And, you know, if you look at the root of the word confidence, confideo, with fidelity, with honesty, you know what I'm saying? That's a big thing. Do you have the self-confidence to be able to stand up like Simon is doing right now? And I had talked to him, and I just realized it was 2 years ago that I met him, and I haven't really, I've been following him on Facebook, haven't really talked to him that much since then, but man, what a different person. And Simon, welcome to the real world. Seriously.
You
know?
Thank you.
I mean, because otherwise, when you're living that double life, you know, like we think the world wants to see us a certain way, to perceive us a certain way. But got to have the right cars. And I know that you and I share that car love thing. And you have, do you still have a Ferrari?
I do, yeah. Still got it.
So you lucky guy. But anyway, but I mean, the reality is when you get past the Ferrari, so many of us, you know, we reach for the golden rings. And then when we finally get them, we go, wow, that's not what I thought it was going to be. And then we go, you know what? So I have the car. It doesn't give me happiness the way I thought it would. And we start then kind of that deeper search. And I'm glad. Listen, I'm very happy for you. I'm glad that you're sharing this. Thank you. Because hopefully somebody out there listening will hear this or else listen to your podcast, The Simon Lovell Show, SimonLovell.com, love with two L's.com, and be able to come out of it. Because how many years, like for you example, how many years, and for me example, were we struggling living that double life before we finally woke up and went, enough? It's like there was a movie one time, you know, I'm madder than hell and I can't take it anymore. I'm mad at myself too, because we are the only ones that can change that. Right, Simon?
Yeah, you know, there's a quote which is, you know, depressed is the need for deep rest from the character that we've been playing.
Wow.
And for me, you know, it's been about that journey and, you know, giving up alcohol and letting go of the drugs and the past and literally like getting the fun back in my life where now I'm doing improv and I'm doing singing lessons and I'm just in this amazing flow where, you know, when I'm talking to people, I'm more present and I'm really, because I'm not in my head, you know, and what I would say to people is this, you know, when you're at events and when you're there and when someone, you know, isn't really there and you can kind of spot it, just understand it's probably not personal. It's actually because they're going through something and they feel really uncomfortable, but they kind of need to be there. And that was me, you know, and so I get it. And I just want entrepreneurs to, you know, where I was, to get back into that flow and that fulfillment and understanding that, you know, while the things are great and the cars are fantastic and those pieces are such actually a gift to inspire other people and the experience you can have with them. What is the biggest gift is to be, you know, feeling like in your body and in complete flow without anxiety and without this undercurrent of like something doesn't feel right. You know,
You know what I realize about you is that you're much more vulnerable, which men in particular don't like to be. Women get taken advantage of if they become vulnerable in the world. And so most of us, men and women alike, we put on this suit of armor as we walk out the door, which is that double life thing. But I don't see that with you anymore. You are like this vulnerable, good man that is out there kind of you're like you're putting yourself out there. And it's rare. It's sometimes a little dangerous, which I think takes courage, which is what you're using to be on the radio like this, talking the way you are. You know, you're kind of exposing yourself in essence, but so what? What have you got to lose but that double life that isn't you anyway, right?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, I don't see it as weakness. I don't see the vulnerability as weakness. I see it as a strength. And also, I don't care what other people think. And I used to say that I didn't, but I did, but now I don't.
So what is the first step you took? I mean, there had to be obviously, you know, giving up, just like food. Like I'm a fat guy and I like food, but I have recently decided, I bought a gym, which hasn't helped me at all. And I decided, okay, so guess what? The first thing I got to do is make the decision in my head. Because I've always been a little overweight. And when you go on TV, you see it, it puts weight on you. And I get disgusted at myself. So I decided in my own mind, I thought, I have the ability to overcome this weakness, which is just simply cravings. And so I decided that I was going to kind of mind over matter. And I have done a pretty good job now. I'm going to try and change my whole life because I'm a yo-yo. I've talked about this before. But I really want to be a different person. And I don't want to kill myself by what I put in my mouth, you know, because that's typically what happens to us. We eat ourselves to death. And you're the fitpreneur, so you should know. But as a matter of fact, let me take another break because we have so much to talk about. This is all good stuff, man. I love the vulnerability here. And I don't see it as weakness either. I see it as sweetness. I see it as something that men especially need to make themselves more vulnerable and get rid of that big, ugly pride and ego and come back to what God wants us to be, which is simple. Keep it simple. We'll be right back. It is Entrepreneur Weekend.
There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages. Discover unstoppable industry influencers who celebrate disruptive thinking and game-changing business strategies on Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
And we've got one of those guys right now, Simon Lovell, the fitpreneur, like the entrepreneur, the fitpreneur. Something I want to do. We were talking about strategy and how to kind of help yourself. Well, I guess they call that self-help. Anyway, Simon, what did you do for yourself? I mean, meditation, what did you use? How did you get about this?
Immersion, number one, immersion into my own mindset and self-awareness. Self-awareness is the key, and I talk about this on the show, which is reducing the awareness gap. So what happens is sometimes, like, we'll do something, we'll say something that's maybe nasty, and then, you know, we'll look back, like, a few months later, and we'll go, wow, like, I was horrible back then. But as you get more self-aware, that gap reduces in time. And so what happens now is I might say something and it might be a bit off, but I'll catch myself a lot quicker. And so the job is to get more self-aware. So for example, let's say you want to go to the gym and you wake up and you have that intent, but then you don't do it. So the head brain is like, okay, let's go and create something. I'll go to the gym, but then we don't follow through. So we have to have the awareness that we don't follow through, because if we've committed to something that's positive, but then don't do it, it's because of that discipline. So for example, I would be invited to events, and the two excuses that I would use when someone would say, hey, come to this social gathering, the subconscious mind didn't want to go because obviously I would get anxiety there. And so the two excuses I would use would be I'm too busy or I've got work to do. And so I asked someone to call me out on that, and then I went. And so then that can start to reduce the awareness even more. So the question really is, how do I get more self-aware of myself? If that's the big thing for me, and I can only share what's worked for me, it's been daily meditation, so, and multiple times a day. So if your stress levels are relatively high, meditating, you know, 3 times a day is really important, but typically in the morning, because what that's going to do is it's going to ground you. And I don't start my day until I'm feeling good. And that's a huge, really important takeaway, which is if you wake up in the morning and you're go, 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 and you're in the shower and you're responding to emails, and then you start your day from a stressed place, that's going to affect the phone calls you have, the interactions with your team, the relationship with yourself, lots of different things. So I don't start my day until I feel good. And so I get up at 5, I'm in the gym by 6, I come home, I meditate. And then when my day starts at like 9, I've grounded myself, I've meditated, and I feel good. Therefore, my day is good. And wow. So that I feel has been the key of the consistency. And so if you're listening to this and you're an entrepreneur and you're super successful, like, it's probably from the consistency of your habits, but we have to have the consistency of our mindset and our emotional fitness to be able to get us to the next level.
You know, what's funny is it boils down to the sincerity of your desire to truly change. In other words, right. You really have to reach that point where you looked in the mirror and you were disgusted with yourself. Again, you said to yourself, in essence, I'm a failure at what I'm doing because I'm not doing what I want to be doing. But so you're failing at what it is you want to do or to be. But you have to get to that point where you are completely 100% sick and tired of yourself. And you know what? People are stubborn. We are stubborn creatures, everybody. Man, oh man, and I'll tell you what, and then when we finally do, you know, climb back up on the horse, because we've been bucked off so many times, and we say, this time I'm going to hold on tighter, I'm going to, you know, make my turn a little slower, better, whatever it is, I'm not going to get bucked off this horse again, you know, we start getting better, then we get comfortable, then we fall off the horse again. So we are creatures of stupidity, unfortunately, so many times, until we finally reach that point of maturity. Like I've said to people before about friends and family, I said, you know what? He's just not done cooking yet. It's like taking a pie out of the oven before it's done. It's just going to be mush. Sometimes we just got to live on this earth and make all these mistakes until we're done. We're done cooking. We're ready to truly change. And that is what we are searching for with this show and with the magazine and with the media and all the things that we do. We're searching for those people, those like-minded people who are really ready to change. And when they are, then they can search us out, like you, simonlovell.com, here at entrepreneur.com, and they can find a lot of these answers. Because you know what? What does it say? A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, right? You've got to be ready for it. And so I hear so many people saying such brilliant, wonderful things, including, you know, today. And sadly, it'll fall on deaf ears until that person has suffered enough, till they look at themselves in the mirror and they go, you are an idiot. You know what I'm saying? You have to tell yourself you're an idiot. Einstein said, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome, is the definition of insanity. And so I hate to say it, people, but we've got to wake up. You've got to stop fooling yourself. Stop living a double life. And I'm very proud of my friend Simon Lovell because, you know, I knew him back then and he wasn't near the friend that I expect to have today and from today forward. Simon, I'm really glad that you're reaching this point in your life. What is the biggest change that you're feeling, you know, out of all of this? If it just, you know, bubbles up to, is it happiness, fulfillment? What is it?
A sense of calm and inner peace, I would say. Mm. It's that, you know, it's just like a flow. And it's so, it's so effortless,
yeah.
You know, and there's no tension there. That's the thing. I know a lot of entrepreneurs, they have this tension and this weight, and it's about getting the fun. It's about doing the stuff that you used to do as a kid that you've now stopped doing for some reason because you want to grow something. But what's the actual outcome of what you're growing is to get where, which is actually not what you probably think it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can either hit rock bottom or we can create a compelling future, and that's so exciting that we drive towards that.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it. Lovell, love with two L's, SimonLovell.com. You guys can all find him. He's also the Fitpreneur, thefitpreneurs.com with an S. And you and me need to be talking about how to get some of this fat off of me. You know what? It's falling off, so maybe I'll just keep on the track, but I always want good advice, and I'm not afraid to ask for it. So, Simon Lovell, thank you very much, brother. Congrats. We'll be right back.
Listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, I love interviews like Simon Lovell because, man, the guy is like stripped down, naked, full frontal nudity, just bearing his goods to the world right now. And that's a beautiful thing. I mean, it's not easy to do, but he's doing it. Anyway, awesome stuff. All right, but it's time to talk a little bit of business. Because this is kind of supposed to be a little bit of a businessy show, even though when you're an entrepreneur, you go through all kinds of crap to get to where you make the big deals, like the next guy, Bill Clarico. He's the co-founder and CEO of WePay. Now, they've just been acquired by JP Morgan, so WePay, a Chase company is what Bill says. And I know you were trying to joke around, but that's fine. It's the truth, right? And you got to be happy. He's not telling anybody what he sold it for, but the reports are anywhere from like a $250 million to almost a $500 million. I think he's probably smiling. We can't see it, but he's happy. A young man in his low to mid 30s. But I'm curious about your journey, Bill. Thanks for being with us. Welcome to the show. Give us a couple of minutes on your journey to get to the big payoff like you just did.
Well, it's awesome to be here, Alan. Thanks for having me. I am smiling, but it's just because I'm here with you. Excited to talk a little bit about our journey. We started WePay back in 2008. I actually quit my job as an investment banker about 2 weeks before Lehman Brothers imploded. And, at the time really was sweating it. Didn't think it was the right time to start a company, but in hindsight, it couldn't have been a better time.
Right.
The original idea was to make it easy for friends to collect money from friends, split the dinner check, pay rent together, all that kind of good stuff. You know, we launched it, didn't really work, failed in the market, but learned a ton about payments infrastructure and realized that there was lots of other software and technology companies that were trying to build innovative things around payments. And so pivoted the business in 2012 to be an e-commerce infrastructure company, helping software companies embed payments, and really struck our chord, grew the business, and eventually, late last year, sold the business to JP Morgan Chase. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears in between, but that was kind of our 10-year journey.
Dude, I mean, I got to tell you, what a great, great story, because timing is everything, right? I mean, you knew something was coming down in your heart of hearts, and you're like, I got to get the hell out of here so I don't become collateral damage here, right? So you pulled the golden parachute, which is really sometimes just jumping before the explosion, and you swam away, and you found your own boat, and you built an amazing empire. Now, you're a young guy. Your whole life is ahead of you. I got underwear as old as you are. You have your whole entire life ahead of you. You could be the next, whatever. Put your name on your favorite billionaire. You could be that guy in another 4, 5, 10 years. Whatever. I mean, so you and who's the co-founder? Who's the other guy?
Yeah, my co-founder, Rich, we were actually freshman year roommates at Boston College. Lived together throughout college and, you know, called each other up a year after school and said, hey, we've got this idea, you know, let's work on it together. And spent a lot of nights and weekends flushing it out until we eventually decided to both make the plunge. And, you know, proud to say that Rich is, you know, still my partner here at the company today.
It's awesome.
And it's been really fun taking that 10-year journey with him.
You know, it's interesting. I was just at an event. I just came back. Volvo is launching a new XC40. It's a new small SUV. And they have a subscription model because they're looking at the way the world is changing. And as you know, I mean, you guys are kind of at the forefront of you young folks, you millennials, of changing our world. But you can now buy a Volvo the same way you buy an iPhone or something. One payment includes the insurance, everything. One payment period. It's like $600 a month, and it's a 24-month deal. Almost like if I was telling you this is a phone deal, after the first 12 months, you can go back and trade it in for another brand new Volvo if you start your 24 months over again. So it's a subscription thing, but it's the car business. So this whole wave of doing things in a, I don't know, just a newfangled way like you guys did with WePay. It's brilliant, but it's also leaving the old guys like me, the old guys behind that are still, you know, I mean, we can still smell yesterday, if you know what I'm saying. I can still remember how, you know, I was a newspaper boy. I delivered newspaper. What is a newspaper today? I haven't even seen one in a couple of months, you know, other than USA Today because I'm on an airplane. But you know what I'm saying? The world is changing. Let me ask you now, looking back, because you're kind of on the other side of all of it now, the Chase company, everything's going well. You're still the CEO. What would you have done differently? Is there any one thing or anything that kind of bubbles up that you would have done differently along this path?
You know, I think in hindsight, you certainly reflect on all the lessons that you've learned along the way. And certainly with the benefit of hindsight, would have done a lot of things differently. You know, I think in general, the thing that I would have done differently or will do differently next time and have tried to change is just, you know, being more decisive and making faster decisions and kind of going with it. Mm. You know, when we decided that we needed to pivot our business away from being a consumer company and towards being, you know, an e-commerce infrastructure software company, that was a pretty painful decision. We were basically betting the company on this pivot. And it took us, you know, I'd say 2 years beginning to end to really get comfortable and say, yep, this is what we're going to do and make that change. Granted, the stakes were high, but I think if we had been able to kind of make that decision faster, we would have had a year head start on the competition in the market. So I think that was kind of one mistake and, you know, lesson learned there around, you know, if you're facing a big decision, you got to just sit down, get your head around it and then go for it one way or the other.
Yeah. But I, you know, it's funny. I hear you saying that and I love you for saying it. And it's like, yes, like you said, hindsight is always 20/20, but I think until you've lived it and been there and done that, it's hard to actually say that you would know what to do differently. You know what? I got to take a break. Don't go anywhere. We're talking to Bill Clerico. He's the co-founder and CEO of WePay, just acquired by JP Morgan. When we come back, we're going to talk about what does the future hold for B2B payments, WePay. We'll be right back. Entrepreneur Weekly.
Stay tuned. There's more Entrepreneur Weekly after these messages.
Are you ready? Let's do it one time.
You're listening to Entrepreneur Weekly. Now, here's your host, Alan Taylor.
Well, you know, I have such a fun job. I get to talk to some very, very interesting people. And the guy who's just getting started to the guy who just got finished, but he's also just getting started because phase two of life starts for Bill Clerico. He is the co-founder and CEO of WePay, recently acquired by JP Morgan, a major acquisition. They're just not telling anybody what the hell they got. None of your business, right, Bill? That's what you said to me anyway. Let me just ask you, I know you're not even going to try and dignify that, but what about the future? What does the future hold when it comes to B2B payments from the WePay point of view?
Sure. Payments is this really funny industry. It's everywhere. You know, I guarantee you used a credit card today or interacted with a payment company in some way today, but totally. You probably didn't even think about it.
Right.
And, you know, really kind of beneath the surface of any business that we interact with, there's a payments company that's helping facilitate that flow of commerce. So it's a market measured in trillions of dollars that are moving every year that no one ever thinks about. And so, but one of the really interesting things that's happening kind of beneath the surface is the old way of payment processing was, you know, if you started a small business, you'd walk into your local bank, you'd ask them for a credit card terminal, they'd give you one, and you'd take it back, you put it on your counter. And you know, we see lots of those credit card terminals on the counters of small businesses every day. You know, we in the industry, we call them dumb bricks. They're just the kind of standard old credit card terminal, nothing special to them. But what's happening now is that those same small businesses are using software to run their business in a new way. You know, it could be, you know, a general contractor using a software package like FreshBooks to do accounting and to do invoicing. Could be, you know, a restaurant using OpenTable. But software, like, it has changed the rest of the economy, is changing small business. And so these small businesses are using these new software platforms to run their businesses better. And more, it makes sense for payments to just be a seamless part of that software.
Yeah.
So you can pay for that table through OpenTable, or, you know, you can send that invoice to a customer and they can just pay it electronically with their credit card from home. And so really what's happening in payments is that there's this big transition from these dumb bricks, these old point of sale terminals, to payments is just a seamless part of the software that businesses are using to run every single day. And so WePay is really helping make that change. You know, we're that invisible layer underneath that makes it easy for these software companies to become payment companies and to ultimately serve their customers better.
Well, and you guys only sell to software companies so that it enables them to have your product built into their product, whatever the hell it may be, to make the customer experience better. Right, exactly. Yeah. Wow. Well, I'm just curious, you know, what's next for WePay? I mean, as far as, are you going to do any massive changes? Or are you just going to keep on going along, making sure that you're delighting your customers? Because I think at the end of the day, that is what you have to do. You've got to make a happy customer every single time, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think one of the really cool things is being part of, you know, a platform like JP Morgan Chase, you know, one of the world's largest financial institutions, you know, $2.5 trillion in assets and, you know, 5,000 branches across the U.S. It's a really massive institution and organization.
Dude, I've got a Chase card in my pocket. You know, come on. I'm with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's really just, you know, kind of mind-boggling the reach of the company. And so what we get to do now is think about how do we leverage that reach to serve our customers even better?
Yeah.
You know, how can we, you know, use the fact that you might have a Chase card in your pocket, or you might be a small business owner that has a checking account at a local Chase branch. And how do we build that into our capabilities to make, you know, what we can do through software even more powerful? So we're still early days of kind of thinking through all that, but, you know, it's really pushing the team here to think bigger, to really innovate, and to think at a much different scale, to add some zeros to our goals and think about how do we make, you know, what we're doing an even bigger part of the economy.
I just, to have everybody know, I tried to borrow some money from him in the commercial break. He says, I'm sure that Chase can loan you some money. You're
right.
Too funny. Yeah. Let me ask you, is mom and dad pretty happy with you, Bill?
You know, I love my parents. They love me too. They support. They were just as happy when I quit my job to start.
That's awesome. That's great.
As they are today. You know, they've been awesome cheerleaders, even when things didn't look so great.
Well, you know what? God bless you, man. Keep up the good work. Listen, please, you know, take advantage of our new friendship. If you need to borrow some money, I will loan you some money. So, you know.
Perfect. Well, thank you for that.
I know you'll never need any. If you have some good stuff to talk to the world about, please give us a ring and come back and talk to the million people or whatever we have listening. Bill Clarico, thank you.
Thanks for having me, Alan.
Congratulations. This is Entrepreneur Weekly. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.
This program is copyrighted by Entrepreneur Media Incorporated.